powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Joining us now in the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, headed to Peoria with Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. Hey, Shannon, how's it going?
It is going. Now, all of a sudden, I don't want to leave. It's turned beautiful here.
Of course. Perfect timing. I was actually going to start with a non-Mariner, that being Blake Snell. Earlier in the show, unsurprisingly, we answered fans' texts about whether or not they were disappointed that Snell didn't end up signing with the Mariners. And Shannon, I think for a long while, and Bump said this, we just assumed, like, this isn't happening. We were curious about where he'd go and what would happen, but knew that it wouldn't be Seattle. Is that a deal that you think Seattle should have or could have made?
Not with where they have the budget. Where they have the budget right now and where most teams have the budget, if you've got five starting pitchers, he would be a luxury at that point. Or actually, he wouldn't be the luxury. The luxury would be being able to start your fifth starter in the minor leagues. So I don't think at that price it was necessary for this team. And I also think that there were some question marks, that the walk rates, how deep he can go in games. And then the further out this thing went for him, the longer he was not in a camp, you add that to it as well. So I don't think that this year it was ever a great fit. Now, if you're out there and you're going to, if spending is not an option, if you've chosen for it not to be an obstacle, then, well, maybe. But starting pitching is not where the Mariners' weakness is. I think that if you were going to spend that money, I would have spent it on a bat first.
Yeah, I agree with you, Shannon. I looked at that situation. I go, I'm disappointed we didn't get him, but I'm good with what we have over here already. What's your progress report card on the Mariners so far? How are you feeling about these guys as we get ready for the season?
I think they're about where they should be heading into the season. Of course, the big question mark will be the bullpen, and that's where the concern is, because you've lost your top or two of your three top arms in the pen, and we don't know how long they'll be out. Hopefully not too long. But, as compared to years past, there's a little something extra in that the guys who are returning now know what it feels like to not make it when you expect to make it. And I think that that can, if you're able to keep that kind of hunger kind of as an underlying feeling, I think that can make you a dangerous team. They're all a year older, a year more experienced as well. And I think that plays to their advantage. They're not getting, old in terms of baseball. They're getting more mature in the game and as a team. And I think that when you look at where the offense is heading out of spring training, I'm not so much looking at, what their spring training numbers have been. I'm looking at the readiness, how ready they look. And that doesn't mean like coming into camp in shape. They do. That should be, that should happen, period. But I'm talking about what we've seen in the last week, in particular with individuals getting their timing and then hitting together as a team. They've got kind of some, I think, different offensive, I don't know, philosophies, but the language might be a little bit different. How they're trying to attack things might be a little bit different. And to have the adjustments made that have been made in kind of learning that language and understanding the focus, I think is important. And also just the players that you brought in. Adding a Mitch Garver, who has looked very good. Adding a Jorge Polanco, who is perhaps, I've said this a few times, but Polanco from the left side looks the most locked in of any player right now in this camp. That's good. They also are two of the hardest workers that I've seen, and they are also embracing leadership roles, which is important. So I think you've added something that you didn't have a year ago, and kind of that, that bad feeling from last year and how that motivates you. And two veteran bats that have been added to this lineup that look ready to compete right away. You're not looking for a bounce back. They're ready to go.
Hey, just heading to the bullpen for those two injuries. I know that you don't have the answers, that we don't have a clear timeline, but what's just the latest that you've heard about either?
Well, Santos is not throwing yet, and they're not going to let him throw until he gets another MRI. So he is still in that holding pattern of getting the anti-inflammatories to kind of settle things down. And as that happens, he loses the work that he has had in camp prior and to some extent what he did in the offseason. So he's a ways off. Matt Brash has been throwing Everything has gone well so far. He's throwing in a little bit of a different manner than you normally see with a rehabbing pitcher. They want him to increase both the pitches and the intensity. They want him to feel comfortable in what he's doing. And to that end, they've actually had him throw and monitored his velocity with the radar gun and other equipment, so he feels confident in what he's doing too. So he's not just out playing catch from different distances and then bringing it in. They also want to make sure he feels good about the intensity that he is playing that catch at. And hopefully, I'm hopeful that we see him on the mound before we leave spring training.
Shannon, last year, opening day, there were a lot of expectations for that team. Obviously, they fell short. This year, the feel and the sound around the team is a bit different. They're not talking about World Series or anything like that. They're just one day at a time, one game at a time, start off hot. When you compare the projected opening day lineup to last year's opening day lineup, how do you see it? What are the strengths and the weaknesses? Or do you feel like this lineup is just overall stronger than last year's?
Well, you've got less strikeout. I think that's important. Not dramatically less, but you do have less strikeout. But I think one of the most important things is not so much when you're looking at the starting lineup, you're looking at what's on the bench right now. And you think back to a year ago, the bench was not what they planned it to be because of injuries from the start. And you ended up, Cooper Hummel was supposed to start in the minor leagues last year, and because of injury, he was on your bench. Well, your last player on your bench right now is likely going to be Dylan Moore, and he is actually going to be a key player and has earned that in what he can do against left-handed pitching. He is, as Scott Servais said, going to be in there every opportunity. Basically said, when there's a left-handed pitcher in the game, Dylan Moore is going to be in the game, be it starting somewhere in the field or be it a reliever comes in, Dylan Moore is going to come in and hit because he can hit left-handed pitching. That is a very established big leaguer that you have in that final spot of your bench. And I think that shows you how strong your entire 1 through 13 is offensively.
Defensively, I know there are some question marks about this team. I mean, you take out what Gino's been able to do. You have some question marks. Do you think that that is a little bit of an overreaction to any kind of defensive drop-off, or do you think that there are some real concerns there?
You know, we've got to see him in regular season right now, but obviously you had somebody who brought top-tier defense at third base, and now you're going to have a platoon. They look a little bit better than what you thought you had 2 weeks ago. Josh Rojas can man the position, and we have found that Urias is healthy right now. He can make the throw across the diamond, and we've seen some other plays that he's made that a third baseman needs to make, and he's handled them. Now, the only downside to all of this is you don't get a lot of that in spring training. Only so many balls get hit to you in spring training. So to see the defense day in and day out, you're hoping that at worst it is average over there. And you weren't too optimistic coming into this with the injuries and some other things that you were seeing. I think you can feel better about it right now. Defense where I feel a lot better is what we are seeing from Dom Canzone in the outfield. And that, I think, is due to health. He had some leg issues last year that were hurting him in the field. Also positioning, he is much more comfortable in left field right now. I think you just kind of let him alone and let him play there. And then on top of it, some coaching. So I think I'm very encouraged by what I've seen from him compared to what we saw last year, because to be honest with you, it was alarming at times. You know, he's zigging when he should be zagging, and didn't have the best routes. And I think there were a lot of factors that played into that. I think there's a confidence thing too, in that he's not feeling like all eyes are on him like he was when he was first traded to the team. So I feel a little bit better about what we see in the outfield, and I don't think that that's been talked about quite as much.
Time flies, Shannon. We heard DePoto say the other day, he goes, a lot of our young guys are entering their primes, and I'm like, man, it's been like 3 or 4 years of these guys developing and becoming these young men and these young leaders. Is there something that we could look for to kind of, be an indicator that these guys are maturing as a team and can maybe handle some situations better than others?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, for me, it's apparent because I'm down here every day. You feel it in the clubhouse. You feel it around the club. It hit me. I was talking to Ty France yesterday. For how many years have we been talking about him and others being part of the young core? That's not the feeling when I walk into this clubhouse. It feels like a veteran team for the first time, and not because of the players that were brought in. I mean, they certainly contribute to it, but because you have grown your young players. And, you know, J.P. Crawford has been here now since 2019 on this team, and he absolutely, you know, he's veteran to the point where a lot of guys, you know, called him, he should be the captain. You know, you bring back Mitch Haniger, you could easily put a C on his jersey as well. Ty France came up, you know, around the same time, a little bit later than JP, but you don't look at him as a young player anymore. And Cal Raleigh has just been kind of on that accelerated path, partly because of the position he plays and also partly because of the person he is and able to take that on. When you look at this club, you know, the only real kind of youth you see on the position side are Raleigh and Canzone. And that, I think, is a far cry from what we have seen in over the past few years, ever since they tore it down. It was about growing the players. And I think one of the things that you can look for, if you want to see it on the field, I asked Scott Servais, well, how do you handle it? Everybody else talks about, you know, how every game is important and how do you get off to a good start and how do you keep that start rolling? How did you look at the beginning is as important as the end? And he said that a difference that he could see himself with is in the past, there would be a player in April in particular where situations would arise where if it were September, it would be a no-brainer. No, very easy. You're pulling that guy for a pinch hitter. And he said, I might not stick with the guy as long as I would in April. And the whole thing for him with sticking with that guy is you've got a length of season ahead of you, and you need that guy to have some confidence too. And at this point, you don't have as many guys that would need that in the first place. And in the second place, he does say that he thinks that that is an area where, well, we might just have to go to the bench in that situation, particularly if the game is on the line, and they'll deal with the other as it comes. So I think along those lines and how he manages, I think that might be one very apparent thing that you see. If you see him lifting a Canzone or a Raleigh, say, April 11th, for a pinch hitter, I can almost guarantee you that a year ago that player would have been in, stayed in.
Speaking of Raleigh and Canzone, I'm not asking about them at all. I feel like my attention and the attention of many Mariners fans has been on Ty as he works to come back after going to Driveline, on Mitch's return, on the starting rotation, obviously. And for me, at least, both Canzone and Raleigh have just kind of gone under the radar. How are both looking, and what are your impressions of both from spring training?
Canzone has looked very good. I think he's made some adjustments. Obviously, he went to work. He looks completely different physically. He went to work on the body in the off season. He's healthy, so he's running better in the field, as I mentioned a second ago. But he's got crazy, crazy pop. And we've seen a little bit of it with the home runs, but they are. He also is a guy that, while he doesn't walk, he hasn't struck out a ton. And he's a guy that they've really been working with to, you know, don't let that pitch get by that you can really do something with. You know, in the zone contact for him is decent. It can be better. And when it does, you've got a force at that position, which is fantastic. So I like where he's at, but I'm still going to allow for he is young and making adjustments, and the league is making adjustments to him as well. He's very good with the fastball. He's going to probably need some work on the other pitches. Raleigh is the one who I think that the spotlight's been on him because I think he has two hits so far this spring, and that I'm going to be curious to see what happens during the regular season. The big problem with him in spring training is he has drawn so many lefties, and he's probably not going to get starts against lefties early. So, I think it's been a tough spring for him, and that is what he has been facing. So I'm kind of interested to see what that looks like. Now, everybody can look completely different when the lights go on and it's the regular season. You can't take a ton from what you see down here other than that they are healthy and perhaps the timing looks good. It's all kind of a mystery once the switch gets flipped. But, for young guys, Canzone in particular, I think has looked pretty strong, and I'm curious to see what Raleigh is when he's playing in the role that they have kind of assigned him from the get-go, yeah. And that's going to be against righties, which should benefit him greatly.
Well, and he'll get an early start on that, too, with this schedule. She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Thanks so much, Shannon.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Shannon.
It.
You got it, guys.
See ya. All right, let's head to the station for Hype Train. First one in, we're going to look at free agency in the NFL between Russell Wilson, now with the Steelers, and Kirk Cousins, now with the Falcons. You'd think that Kirk, with all those weapons, is going to absolutely take off. After all, he was having a career year with the Vikings last season before he got hurt to a torn Achilles. But to the surprise of all, in 2024, it'll be Russell Wilson who has the better year.
Russell is, had one bad year, had a bounce back year with the Denver Broncos. Kirk Cousins has been consistently above average. Not your average quarterback, not going to win you a lot of playoff games, obviously, but has hung around. And I look at what he has over there in Atlanta with that young talent. But then I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, what they've done on defense. We all know you need a defense to support you. And you could say Russell Wilson will have the better year, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going with the guy who's been the most consistent. He secured the bag. Life is good. I'm going Kirk Cousins, so I will let that train pass by. Cousins getting it done.
I think that's the right answer, but it's still fun. Between Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins, both have new homes in 2024. To the surprise of all, Curtis, it'll be Russell Wilson who has the better year. Bump says, I'm not boarding that train. Not for me. Are you?
Hey, Cousins coming off the leg injury, which might hinder him a little bit. But like Bump's saying, I think Cousins has a lot more to work with in Atlanta than Russell Wilson does in Pittsburgh. And last we saw these two, it felt like Cousins was the better quarterback of this group. So, yeah, I'm going Kirk Cousins having the better year. I will be rooting for Russ this season to kind of turn it around.
Too.
So hopefully he can do that. But I think Kirk Cousins is the safer bet of these two.
I do not know a ton about either offense and how they're going to function right now, with the Steelers having a new offensive coordinator last year, having moved on from Matt Canada, very controversial. And then obviously with Atlanta this year, having a new coaching staff. So I have no idea. I do know that Russell has some weaknesses we know about. I wonder if he's going to be asked to throw over the middle a ton. I wonder if they're going to play to his strengths. I think Najee Harris, if they get, like Mike Williams going, like that kind of thing happening, does make me optimistic for it. Mike Tomlin doesn't lose, man. That guy finds a way, the will and a way, every single season to have a winning or 500 season, which you can't do anymore. I'm still going Kirk.
All of that too, just to go Kirk.
I know. I think it's just going to be really tough. And I'm rooting for Russ as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet whether Russ has fully changed and embraced the quarterback he is now.
I think he has.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope he does. There's no way
you have that time in Denver and you come out like, it wasn't me.
Right.
It was all them.
I don't know.
I hope so.
I'm still rooting for him, though. Yeah. I agree. Next one. We know this draft class for tackles is great. We were joined yesterday by Jordan Reed, joined today earlier by Nick Baumgartner, both of whom had great things to say about the tackle class. Nick also told us it's a sneaky good center class, and man, did the Seahawks need that. It's why the Hawks will go offensive line with their first pick.
Yeah, as we know, the draft is just a domino effect, right? You kind of wait and see what happens in front of you. But I look at all the other teams in front of the Hawks at 16, and there are other needs. You got wide receiver needs. You got quarterback needs. You can always use an offensive lineman. But there are only really two that you're looking at, the young man from Oregon and the young man from University of Washington. And I'm hoping that Troy falls to 16. Mm. Because if he does, the Hawks will be picking him up. If not, you do have the center from Oregon, Jackson Powers, I think his name is. But you drafted one last year. So I'm just going to put good vibes into the universe, into the atmosphere. Troy is going to fall to 16. The Hawks will pick him up. I'm on the train. They're going offensive line.
Seahawks go offensive line with their first pick. Now, it doesn't have to be a pick 16. They could trade back late first, trade into the second, whatever it is. You're just boarding the train if you think the first pick they use will be on the offensive line. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
I'd love to see it. I really would. But if there's a defensive lineman there, specifically a run stuffer at pick 16, I would prefer they go with that. So I am going, but I, God, who? It's just Byron Murphy, really, in that spot.
Yeah, essentially.
And there's more offensive linemen available. So, yeah, I think they go O-line. Yeah, we're boarding this train. They go offensive line with their first pick, whether it be at 16 or elsewhere in the first round. But I see it happening. Interior offensive line. Let's go.
I am boarding as well. I'm not going to spend too much time on it since you guys had some great explanations. I will instead go to our third hype train into the station. This past season's winner of the World Series, the Texas Rangers. In 2022, winner of the World Series, the Houston Astros. In 2024, one of the teams in the World Series will be represented by the AL West.
Oh, man. You got Houston, you got the Rangers, and then you got the Mariners. Here's the thing. I don't think Astros are going to do it. I don't think the Rangers are going to do it. And I don't think the Mariners are going to do it. Ooh. So because I don't think any of those teams are going to get it done this year, I'm going to go ahead and say, no, man, I'm going to let this thing go. And I hope that I am wrong and the Mariners do it. But we know, we look at the roster and it just doesn't stack up to World Series type. Mm. The other two teams do. So I'm really just hating on the other two teams and hoping they don't get it done.
That's fair. I mean, there's been more diversity and representation minus the Dodgers with NL teams. I mean, you have the Diamondbacks who lost, the Phillies who lost, the Braves won, Dodgers won, National ones. That's different. Houston accounts for like three of the last five seasons, whether losers or winners. So I'm being a little, they're weighing this, tipping the scales a little bit here towards the AL West. Curtis, one of this year's World Series teams, not necessarily a winner, will come from the AL West.
I would hate for it to be the Rangers or Astros. You'd love for it to be the Mariners, but man, that Orioles team is looking really good, and they still got more talent on the way. Jackson Holliday is supposed to debut this season. They just traded for Corbin Burns. I think the Orioles are the team to beat in the American League this season, so I am going to let this train go on by. I would love to put the Mariners in the World Series. I really would, but that Baltimore team is looking dangerous.
Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. It's coming your way in 30 minutes. 866-979-3776. Any question, text it now. 866-979-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. You're listening to Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up next, a former Seahawk moves on to a new team. Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Taking a look around the NFL, and Bump, I have news that you are going to like. You know that Netflix show, Quarterback? It's great.
Of course I do.
Of course. It was a fantastic show. Something tells me they're having a hard time, you know, corralling guys for seasons 2 and 3 because they've now switched it up. And instead of Quarterback, they're going to have a follow-up to the series called Receiver. It is starring Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Amon-Ross St. Brown, and Deebo Samuel. George Kittle, kind of odd one out there.
Yeah, you know, but he receives the football. He lines up in the receiver position sometimes. But listen, Netflix, y'all should have started with receivers. We're the most entertaining human beings in all this land. You know there's going to be drama. There's going to be some diviness going on over there. They're going to be going out to clubs. Like, the Quarterback was good. I loved it.
It was a great show.
The Quarterbacks, you know, they're going to go home every day. They're going to say hello to their families.
Yep. Boring.
As far as I know, Deebo Samuels is a single man. He's going to be out there. Amon-Ross St. Brown, single. Justin Jefferson, single. George Kittle got some kids. Devontae Adams slowed down a little bit. But no, QB or quarterbacks was good. I think receivers going to be even better, honestly.
I'm excited for, like, the life of following Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ross St. Brown, and Deebo Samuel as they go out and, like, meet people and everything. And then they show Devontae Adams going home, immediately changing out of jeans, and then watching Netflix.
You will never, this is one thing you'll never see, Devontae, any of these guys in jeans. Maybe George Kittle.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't wear jeans ever if I was an athlete.
Never.
If I had to change that much in and out of my uniform and work out all the time,
When was the last time you seen me in jeans?
That's true. I don't remember.
Exactly.
Maybe when we were filming stuff with Chris Francis during the season.
That's it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a fair point. I'm really excited for this one. Only here's the thing. How many positions could you actually make a Netflix series about? Receiver, you're right, is like probably going to be the most entertaining one. I think you can get DBs.
DBs. You can do tight ends. I mean,
weird.
I understand why George Kittle is in this group, but you can do a tight end group.
I don't think you can do guards. I don't think Netflix guard would do well.
I don't think it would either.
I don't think Netflix nose tackle would
center
suffice.
Center would be fine if Kelsey was still in the league, but he's gone now.
Yeah. I don't think you can do it.
What about coordinator?
I think that you could do Netflix The Trenches. Oh, Netflix coordinators or coaches life would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one. The Jags, reportedly, speaking of wide receivers, turned down the 49ers trade offer of Brandon Ayuk for pick number 17 overall and Zay Jones because the Jags didn't want to pay Ayuk a new contract worth $23 million annually.
Ayuk is looking for that bag, as he should, all pro this year. But I think he's going to end up just back with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I understand this is his opportunity, his moment to go out there and get it. But I just don't see it happening, man. But he's worth it. Honestly, he's top five receivers in the league. I don't blame him. I just don't think it's going to work out.
Can I tell you guys, speaking of the Jags spending $23 million, the guy that stole $22 million using their virtual credit card program, a former employee named Amit Patel, he just did an interview with The Athletic where he talked about his gambling addiction, and I found it a fascinating read. Because I do think, in reading this, that he had a clear addiction to gambling. He spent a good chunk of $22 million on, like, DraftKings and stuff. However, tell me if I'm wrong. I was getting into a debate with Katie about this. I understand that a gambling addiction or that an addiction to anything can be really, really complicated. You also took a lot of money to use on private jets and shows for your friends and new cars and all this stuff. Like, I think you just liked being able to get away with stealing this money.
Stealing is an addiction too, man.
That's true.
It's all, yeah, I think he has a problem, but he also likes the finer things in life as well. And, you know, going out with your boys and just having it all on you and being able to take care of it, as a young man, that's a great feeling, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But I think all of his addictions just kind of lined it up perfectly. And he got caught up, man.
It is a fascinating read. And, like, the logic that he talks about, you know, he's too far gone. Like, he's like, I figured I could bet on this and flip a million. He bet on a 6-game parlay to try to get, like, $1 million back or a ton of money back. I don't know how much. I misspoke. Not a million, but to try to get money back. Mm-hmm. 5 of them were UFC fights, and 1 was the Jags covering the spread. He got all 5 fights right.
Dang.
And then the Jags didn't cover the spread.
I don't have the nerves for that. I just,
no.
I don't think I've ever done a parlay. I don't gamble because I just don't like losing money. And it's too stressful enough. I'm stressed out already watching games just because I'm engulfed in it. I love, like, just being in it. Put money on the line? Nah, man, I'm a nervous wreck.
All right. The Seahawks have a new safety, adding some depth to that room. They are signing former Titans safety Kayvon Wallace. I'm going to be really honest. I don't know a ton about Wallace. I do know that they need to add to a room that right now has Jarek Reed, Julian Love, Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, it's going to look very different defensively for Seattle this season.
Kayvon Wallace, he spent 3 years in Philly, 1 Arizona, and our half Arizona, half with Tennessee. His best year was 2023, where he combined for 89 tackles, 1 TFL, 1 quarterback hit. I don't see any interceptions on this thing. I mean, this move right here just makes me think of Kobe Bryant. I'm just always thinking about Kobe Bryant. He's like one of my kids. I'm always thinking about you. I always want the best for you. He's going to have to come in and compete. But again, these are the moves that we expect, right? I mean, no one really knows him. He's had a decent career, and we'll see if he develops.
Speaking of the defense looking different, I mentioned in the tease that a former Seahawk is moving on, so I better deliver on that. Mario Edwards has signed a 1-year deal with the Texans. Texans have had a good free agency period. How do you feel about them and also about Edwards moving on? Is that a big loss for Seattle?
Not a big loss, but a loss. He was a veteran. He was a guy who had been around the block a few times, 114 games. He's played for Oakland, New York, Chicago, Tennessee, Seattle. Again, not a huge impact type of guy. Did have 2 sacks for the Hawks last year. But, you know, these are one of the casualties that you see every single year.
Dating Taylor Swift and winning Super Bowls has its perks. Travis Kelce's in talks to host an Amazon Prime reboot of the popular game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Perfect. I can see him killing that role.
Well, I also think that that's the perfect host for it because there are going to be questions where he's like, I'm going to be honest. I don't know the answer to this one.
Yeah, exactly. You got to find somebody.
I think he'll be great for it.
Who's not like not smart, but not a genius, you know, and has that personality. Yeah. I can see
him. You don't need Alex Trebek for this style show.
I can see him hanging out with kids and just having a good time. It makes complete sense to me.
He seems like a really cool dude, I gotta be honest. What TV show would you most want to host?
Family Feud. Family Feud.
My answer.
Fire.
Good answer. Good answer. Curtis, what about you?
Maybe like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or Jeopardy, one of those two.
I think you could go Jeopardy for sure. Because you would do this snarky kind of like interesting choice of an answer.
You're going to go with that one, huh?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Unfortunately, the answer was this. Yeah. None of you got it.
Was not the one you had.
Yeah. New Browns wide receiver Jerry Jeudy received a 3-year, $58 million extension from the team with $41 million in guarantees. The question most people are asking is Jerry Jeudy currently overpaid or underpaid?
I think my man's a little overpaid. I mean, his best year was in 2022. He had 67 catches for 972 and 6 touchdowns. Last year, he had 54 for 758 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's one of those guys that came into the league full of potential, went to Alabama, mm-hmm. part of that group that had crazy talent, mm-hmm. kind of got lumped in there. That doesn't mean he's not a good receiver. He's just not a number one type receiver. And for not a number one type receiver to get this kind of money, I think they're projecting a bit.
I remember when Russell Wilson was first traded there, I kept thinking that it would just unlock something in each of them, that Jerry Jeudy would be the secret weapon. And then who was it? Was it who was beefing with Jerry Jeudy this past season?
Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm. And he got really, we need to find that audio. He got really upset with Jerry Jeudy for being personally offended at Steve Smith criticizing him.
Called him a jag.
Yeah.
Just a guy.
Exactly.
So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver that you use a first round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple years since they drafted you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you? I will say no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier 3. Go back into the studio. I'm done now. Thank you.
Here's the thing, man. Steve Smith is a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's in yet or whatnot. He should be if he's not. Constructive criticism is not calling him just a guy.
Yeah.
Constructive criticism would be like, oh, well, this is what he does in this route. Here's a giveaway. He needs to work on this. And he is an above average receiver in the league. You don't go for almost 1,000 yards and be an average receiver. Just you don't poke Steve Smith. I played a round of golf with Steve Smith. I made sure I said nothing to get this man going because he is like a pit bull out there barking and he will bite you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any mess with that. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. First question, What I Need to Know. If you could move to a city like San Francisco or Houston and get a job as a sports radio host, could you, in your soul of souls, hype up the Niners or Astros?
For sure. Most definitely. What do you mean?
How much are you paying me? You're paying me to what now?
You're paying me to do this?
Yep.
Yeah. I love this team. What are you talking about?
It would be harder with the Astros. I don't have like a disdain for the Niners. It's more of like, they've won so much lately. But like, I don't say 40 whiners.
Nah.
I think it's a little dated.
Nah, it'd be tough to get into the flow of praising that team. But yeah, man. I'm like Kalen DeBoer. I'll dip real quick on you.
I don't know that I could connect in quite the same way. I would always view them as like the team I'm solely covering.
I would never say we like with the Hawks
I
and
agree.
The Mariners.
There would be a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to pay me. all right. What I need to know. Weird food take. What's a non-standard item you put on your hamburger? For example, pineapple, apples, chips, whatever.
Something weird that you
you put like avocado or guacamole on a burger?
How's avocado weird?
Avocado's not weird. I put like chips on a sandwich sometimes, you know? Ham and cheese sandwich, throw some chips in there.
I don't get too crazy
I've had a burger with like peanut butter on it before. It's not bad.
Yeah, I know that certain places will make it really weird, but yeah, I don't know about that. What I need to know. I just moved into a new home and found out my neighbor is an MLB relief pitcher. Wonder what team he plays for. I won't say who, but he was originally drafted by the Mariners. Oh, turns out he lives here in the off season. It's a nice neighborhood, but I would say humble for a person of his caliber. What I need to know. How do I go about meeting him without being a complete weirdo? I was thinking maybe I could go play catch with my son in the front yard and see if he comes out. I'll take your response off the air, JD.
Like playing basketball in front of LeBron. I bet he's going to come play.
It's like if you like a guy, so you're like, I'm going to go lay in a lawn chair. Like you're like a teenage girl.
It's how you do it. When's your trash day? See when he takes out the trash, and you just take your trash out at the same time.
But then you're watching out your window like a creep.
You're going to be a creep either way for wanting to meet this guy. I mean, if you're going to do it, that's how you know he's going to be out. Trash day.
I would want to know, like, what is neighbor here? Is neighbor next door neighbor?
Or across the street?
Okay, if it's next door or, like, within hearing distance, what you could do is throw a party. This is elaborate, but you could throw a party. You can go over. Hey, I just wanted to let you know we're celebrating whatever. We're probably going to be a little loud, late. I made you this, you know, as payment.
Hey, Edwin Diaz. No, I don't think that's who it is.
But. What if that's who it is? I mean, what if it's like an insane name that we can't believe is living in like this neighborhood in like Renton?
Somebody drafted by the Mariners but does not play for them.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Draft
Edwin Diaz
pitcher,
was drafted by the Mariners.
A relief pitcher. Yeah. What if Edwin Diaz is that guy?
Here's what you do. Here's what you do to get Edwin Diaz out of his house. You play the trumpet music.
Right.
And then he starts jogging out. It's like a Pavlov's dog reaction.
I know that it seems like a very expensive, elaborate ploy to go over there and meet this person, but I would go over to be purely neighborly, not to ask for an autograph, not to do whatever. Don't use your son. Purely neighborly, just go over.
Here's what you
do. We're having a party. I just wanted to let you know we're going to have some
noise. Here's what you. It's a classic page of the Michael Bumpus book. You scan him up and down. What you play? You ball? What sport you play? Oh, your baseball. Oh. And then don't make it known that, like, you know his entire baseball reference page.
I love the idea, though, of JD, this texter, taking his son out and being like, okay, right here, right here, right here. Now throw it to me. No, over there.
We have to be in plain sight.
We have to be where he can obviously see us. Okay, JD says directly across the street.
Oh, that's easy.
So he can see your home at all times. Yeah. I think, I mean, should he just go play catch?
No.
I wouldn't.
Is he new to the neighborhood? If he's new, just walk over. I always say hello when we have new neighbors.
Let's assume he's not, unless JD tells us. But then how would you not know it was him? So he must be new. JD's new.
Somebody's new.
I think that you do something where you need to warn your neighbor or ask your neighbor for a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And you make it purely, act like you don't know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just saying it like, oh, I'm just a dad who has this house. I'm moving on. Oh, JD says it is not Edwin Diaz.
That's exactly what Edwin Diaz would want you to think.
Exactly. That's stop trying to protect Edwin.
Somebody's 360. Just ask for a cup of sugar. That's something people don't do anymore.
No.
Blake Snell lived in my neighborhood. My son wanted to. This is a different texter. My son wanted to meet him, but didn't want to go knock on the door. So he found a way. He was selling candy bars for a soccer team and ended up knocking on his door. Blake didn't take any of the candy bars, but gave my son $100.
Nice.
Oh, that's really nice.
360. Put a fat head of him in front of your window and all the memorabilia of his team. Just. Totally normal.
425, who do you guys have in your final four? And are you riding on sleepers in the first rounds? I took UConn to win it all because I'm boring and predictable. I also took Purdue.
Really UConn's nice, though.
I know. I took Purdue much further than I normally would.
You're crazy for that.
I know.
You're crazy for this one.
I took Houston further than I should. I didn't have them in my final four. Craziest final four, I think I had Tennessee.
That's not too crazy.
It's not too crazy, but it's not a, yeah, it's not a.
Dalton Connect? That's a cold white boy.
I
don't know. I'll fill it out tonight. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, now I want to enter into our work.
Play
one.
Catch and break his window.
Yeah.
Well, let's not do that.
Do you guys ever fill out your brackets with people?
Nah.
No, me neither.
I want no other opinions.
206.
I'm going to have Derek help me with
206 says, go out there with your kid and teach him totally the wrong things and then make sure he overhears you so he can correct you.
Yeah, that's actually, and then he has to be, but here's the thing. If you were an MLB pitcher, how pretentious would, like Bump, if someone was outside and they were trying to teach their son routes and they were giving them horrible advice.
You couldn't just sit and let that go by.
Or would you think, I'm not going to go out there and be like, listen to me.
What I would do is I'd bring over my sons, but look at this. Garbage. All bad. Don't do that.
Someone said hit a fly ball into his backyard. That's not bad advice. Hey, I'm so sorry, but it's kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm so sorry. We hit this into your backyard. You're just flipping it up and hitting it with a bat. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think the neighbor thing's a good idea. I think you act like you don't know. I think that's the way you have to do it. Let's see what I need to know. This one's for Matt. Who's your favorite superhero villain?
Oh, we only have 30 seconds. I need 30 minutes for this.
Oh, my God. Matt.
Magneto.
Okay.
Oh, I need more time next time.
That's okay. I would have given you another 15 seconds so that I could more easily just get to the heart out. But that's okay. We are sending you guys to Mariners Baseball for Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, of course, Michael Bumpus. I'm Stacey Ross. Do not go anywhere. Pregame show and first pitch coming your way next.